Being one of the fastest growing cities in America has its challenges. Seattle is experiencing a housing affordability crisis as new residents flood in. This morning, Mayor Ed Murray said the stakes for housing are high.
Without this plan, people will continue to be forced to move outside this city. We will continue to have a city of economic apartheid.
The mayor's 28-person Housing Affordability and Livability Committee has been working for 10 months to find solutions. They're out with their recommendations today. Faith Lee Pettis is co-chair of the committee. Faith, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Ross. Thanks for having me.
The mayor describes Seattle's housing status quo as economic apartheid. Do you agree, and what's that mean?
I do agree. Currently, the way we are structured, it's very, very difficult for families that want to move and find housing to be able to do that in areas of opportunity in our city, which are the fast-growing neighborhoods that have all of the amenities and benefits. We're hoping to even that playing field.
What's at stake here for Seattle?
Our future. We're growing, and it's a good thing. But like it or not, change is coming. So if we don't start planning now for our future, things always tend to end up worse if you're not planning.
Mayor Murray wants more affordable housing. In fact, he's called for 50,000 units citywide over the next decade, 20% of those for low-income people. Now, one strategy that's in your plan is to require developers to put a share of apartments in new buildings and make them affordable for people with annual incomes at 60% of median level. How large a share? How many apartments out of 100 would developers have to set aside for that?
That plan is one of the centerpieces of our strategy and recommendations, and the HALA members are very, very excited and proud of it because it represents a change in the way we do business. It will end up being about 5 to 7% of units in new residential development in the city. It will be spread citywide, and the benefit of this is it will harness the for-profit industry to help us reach our affordable targets of 20,000 units over the next 10 years.
Now, as you're well aware, there's been concern in some quarters about how the changes proposed by the Affordability Committee would affect those neighborhoods with single-family homes, which actually occupy 65% of Seattle's land. The mayor this morning went to great pains to say, I think, 94% of single-family homes would not be affected. Where would they be affected?
So we're looking at areas within urban villages and within urban walk sheds, which are the 10-minute walking distance around urban villages and transit zones where people want to live and where density has been slated to happen. Those areas that are currently zoned single family in those areas would be upzoned to a low-rise zone. That impacts 6% of single family zoning within the city. And you're right, 94% of single-family zoning in the city would not change.
Where would we see these, which urban villages would we see these changes in? Where are they?
The mayor's office has a terrific map, which you should look at, and we should make sure it gets distributed widely that shows where this would happen. All of the urban villages around the city, this would happen within.
Ballard, West Seattle.
Correct.
So those areas of the urban village will expand a little bit, and that will affect single-family homes adjacent to those villages.
Or in the urban villages. Actually, urban, there are something like 800 acres of single-family zoning within urban villages, and that's where the city for decades now has planned for growth. Those single-family areas will be upzoned.
Now, you're also talking about easing limits on backyard cottages, on accessory housing in single-family zones. What would that do?
That would enable people to put in mother-in-laws, backyard cottages, places for their college-age kids or their grandparents to live. It would allow more residences in the single-family areas, opportunities for families to live in single-family zones.
Now, there's a little of that going on now. So would that extend the would that eliminate the limitations on backyard cottages to all single-family neighborhoods?
Yes. That's the HALA recommendation. Yeah. So right now, the ADUs and DADUs, which is the technical acronym for those backyard cottages and mother-in-law apartments, they're difficult to build. And while they're currently allowed, not many of them are actually produced in the city. So we're proposing eliminating the barriers to creating those. And by doing that, hopefully stimulating the production of them.
Faith Lee Pettis, you've been sitting in a room with 28 other people on all sides of this housing issue. You probably know intimately where the rub points are. What do you think is going to be the most controversial thing out of these proposals?
You know, I will wait eagerly to hear what people think about them. I can tell you that over the course of 10 months sitting with people who have very different perspectives, we've come to understand the perspectives, and we also have come to appreciate the passion behind the perspectives. And I think that's important, because only by doing that can you find common ground. And what we're doing is encouraging people to read our report and start those conversations as well, so they too can find the common ground and be able to push this report forward.
Now, for those who've said it's one thing to build new affordable housing, you have to maintain the affordable housing that's here. One of your proposals is some kind of a tax exemption for preserving affordable units.
Very successful program that the city runs right now called the multifamily tax exemption that is currently in place and allows for new developments to get a partial property tax exemption in exchange for setting aside units at low income rates for 12 years. We're proposing to expand that, and this has to be done at the state level, expand that to existing properties, so not just new construction, but existing affordable buildings could also take advantage of it if they give us low income units. They'll get a partial property tax exemption.
Yeah, a couple things you're depending on Olympia for. Also, you're talking about a real estate excise tax, 0.25%, specifically going to affordable housing. You'll have to get the okay from Olympia for that too, right?
Many of our proposals depend on getting cooperation from Olympia, and we also have in our strategies an acknowledgement that we need federal intervention as well. We can't do it alone. The problem is too great, but I think in cooperation and the fact that we're not the only city experiencing these challenges, it's a Puget Sound problem as well. So I think together we have quite a voice in Olympia.
Faith Lee Pettis, co-chair of the city's Housing Affordability and Livability Committee. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Thank
we appreciate
you,
it.